There is nothing wrong with your internet. Do not attempt to adjust your settings. We are controlling the podcast. We control the squealing and the screams. We can make your heart flutter, your eyes blur from tears, or sharpen your mind to crystal clarity. For the next hour, sit back. We are in control of what you hear. We repeat, there is nothing wrong with your settings. You are about to experience the awe and mystery known as the female mind. You are now entering the fangirl zone.
Welcome to Sci-Fi Talk on the Fangirl Zone, a podcast where we discuss shows on the Sci-Fi Channel. I'm Steve.
And I'm Sean Fangirl S, and today we're discussing episode 2 of season 1 of Revival.
Well, unfortunately, I couldn't dig up any ratings for this episode, but what an episode it was.
Oh my gosh. Like I said, this is actually getting really good. We're only 2 episodes in, based on a comic book, but it is not what I thought at all.
Yeah.
So I'm liking it, and I'm hoping we're going to keep diving in the way we are.
Yes, but they'll have to come up with some more questions that won't be answered in season 1 to get a season 2. So can't wait to find out what those are going to be.
Well, depending on how long this comic book is, I think we probably could have that happen.
Yep.
So shall we dive into episode 2?
Let's do it.
Episode 2, Keeping Up Appearances, a Reviver's Attack shakes Wausau as Dana begins an investigation a little too close to home.
Yeah. Well, Revival Episode 2, Keeping Up Appearances, effectively builds on that jaw-dropping cliffhanger from the series premiere. It fleshes out core character dynamic, introduces a few new supporting players, and lays the groundwork for what's to come. You gotta be digging the Winona Earp / Preacher vibes you're getting with the series.
Oh my gosh, I didn't even think about with Preacher,
Yes. Bring on more narrative weirdness and the zombies. We open with a flashback. M wakes up on Revival Day near a waterfall. She coughs up water and the same wedding band we saw in the series premiere. Bewildered, M returns to the bridge. She discovers one of her boots and her coat. Then M returns to her dorm. Her roommate K is watching the news, which so happens to feature Sheriff Wayne Cypress. M makes a beeline for her room, and 3 days later, M emerges from her room. She heads into the bathroom, crushes up some pills, and snorts them. However, she can't get high. M does this repeatedly and gets the same result, 0 high. Frustrated, M punches the bathroom mirror. K reveals her plan to stay with her parents and ride out the quarantine.
Yeah, so obviously there's kind of an up for revivers. Like, they can't do these horrible things, but like getting high consistently and messing with themselves.
Yeah.
But obviously there's a problem. And because of all this, and after we see K leave, M notices the gash on her hand from punching the mirror is healed. Weird. She grabs a Swiss Army knife and cuts her palm, only for said cut to close almost instantly. So this is probably really messing with her because obviously she was in a dark place. And now she really doesn't know what to do. Plus, we get the news segment on the screen featuring her dad getting increasingly irritated as May asks questions he doesn't or perhaps can't answer. Other than, he wants all the revivers kind of rounded up.
Yeah.
Well, now we're back in present, and Dana's in full-on panic mode. Em is still holding the scythe while looming over Arlene's corpse. Backup's coming. Maybe put down the scythe?
Yeah.
Dana and Em attempt to get their story straight. Dana is urging Em to tell the officers that she killed Arlene, not Em. Remember, it was me, not you.
Yep.
And wow, M is freaking out.
Yep.
Arlene just so happened to be a violent reviver, so it probably isn't too hard to figure this out or go with it. Meanwhile, Cooper stumbles upon a peculiar display in the woods because this dumb shit is walking around the woods. You don't know what's happening, kid.
Nope.
Okay, I got that out of my system. Sorry, everyone, but kids in these kind of movies.
Yeah.
Well, he also trips on what looks like a premeditated trap. However, someone helps Cooper to his feet. This is Blaine Abel. He's an enigma and kind of creepy.
Yeah, I wouldn't call him enigma.
Yeah, I'm just going to say creepy. Yeah. Blaine encourages Cooper to find his way back to civilization, which he points him in the right way. So he's not like trying to scare the kid.
Right.
But I think his whole presence eventually just kind of gets you a little off. Like, it's off.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, Cooper eventually reunites with his grandpa, thankfully. Yeah. Although I still don't think he had enough words said to him about wandering away.
Right. Outside the Dittman's barn, paramedics check him out. She has a panic attack, so they take her to the hospital. And Dana chats with J.P. Brissett. Both agree it's best to keep the sheriff far away from this situation. Upon discovering the ambulance with M is en route to the hospital, Dana makes a beeline for it. They can't discover M's a reviver. Next, Ibrahim and Carla prepare to perform an autopsy on Arlene. What makes her different from the other revivers? After Ibrahim and Carla step out of the room, we see Arlene isn't exactly dead.
That was so weird.
Yes. In fact, the top of her head is already regenerating and her eyes are open. Meanwhile, the Cypress family reunite. Wayne chews Dana out for taking M with her on the job. Of course, Dana gives her father a taste of his own medicine when she learns he temporarily lost Cooper. M is fed up and both of them storm off.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Pot, kettle, just throwing that out there.
Yes, exactly.
But we also have Wayne ordering Ibrahim and Deputy Rogers to keep a lid on the Arlene thing. Oh, and no one talk to the press, he orders. And Dana is supposed to take Cooper home, but May enters the room. Dana urges Rogers to take Cooper to the cafeteria while she handles May. I think that's interesting. We just have this reporter kind of wander in and nobody's stopping her.
Right.
We know how Wayne feels about the media, and May asks Dana for the truth. What is going on here? Elsewhere, Wayne and Ibrahim discover that Arlene is MIA, and the guard stationed outside the room is, dead. I'm sorry, this woman was throwing people around like ragdolls.
Yes.
Maybe more than one person. Although, the fact that the regrowth, or it started and they didn't catch it right away?
Right.
I don't know. But Wayne calls for reinforcements and then the alarm blares. I'm sorry, again, what hospital, or if you all have that and you work in a hospital, what the hell do we need to listen to for dead man walking? I don't know. Like, that threw me off. There's just random alarm going off. It's like, Are we prepared for zombies? And I didn't know this.
Yeah.
Dana makes a break for Wayne's location with May hot on her heels. And Dana spies Arlene as she kills a hospital employee. Her head is mostly in one piece. It's coming back anyway.
Yes, quickly.
Dana urges May to get the hell out of Dodge before she's the next on Arlene's murder list. Of course, May is like, what? What?
Yeah.
If I got somebody waving me back and looking frightened, I'm not going to be like, what did you say?
Yeah.
But next thing we know, Arlene wanders into the maternity ward and Wayne finds her with the baby. I was so scared.
Yeah.
And I say this because every movie, horror movie, whatever, I'm like, okay, you got to have babies off limits. And there's a few that they're not off limits, like that they have not been like, okay, we're not going to do this. And it is so disturbing.
Yeah.
So when I seen this, I was like, oh God, what are they going to do?
Yeah.
But thankfully, she just sped away with the baby before Wayne and the officers can react. So there wasn't anything horrible happening, but still, it's like, okay, what now?
Yeah.
Well, they give chase, and again, what hospital has such narrow hallways?
Yeah, the old one.
Yes, but it's like all twisty and turny. How do you get a gurney through anywhere? Like, I wasn't feeling that, but hey, you know, that's me. But as they're chasing, Wayne and the others wind up in the parking garage. Okay, interesting. Their guns are raised. However, they don't see Arlene. They discover Blaine, who's holding the baby. Arlene's nowhere to be found. Wayne asks about Arlene, but Blaine recites some vague, ominous, apocalyptic-esque language, and he's like, yeah, here's the baby. It's like, okay, the baby's alive, so she didn't throw it down or whatever, but
right,
this guy's creeping me out and making me feel like, okay, something really weird is going to happen, and it's all because of him. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, later, Wade and Ibrahim chat with Mayor Dillich about Arlene. Wade believes this supports his case for locking up all the Reavers. Ibrahim reminds Wayne that the cops have a history of mistreating and abusing marginalized people. I love that Reavers are a clever tool to explore this and how the underprivileged or even those deemed different are ostracized by society. Not all the Reavers are like Arlene. However, Ibrahim concedes that they should pool their resources to capture Arlene. Then Dana searches Em's dorm. She discovers a bevy of creepy drawings adorning Em's bedroom wall.
Yes, they were. That yes, is they a were. Whole nother level of weird.
Yeah.
So hopefully we're going to figure this out. And it's not just like she was really spiraling and that's what she kept seeing.
Right. And she also finds Em's stash of pills. Dana confronts Em about it. Em discloses that she's clean. She can't get high anymore since coming back from the dead. Dana wants to know how Em got her hands on 1,000 pills. Em claims she bought them from the pain clinic.
Now, I'm going to say, okay, see, me working in a pharmacy previously, and when there was a lot of stuff happening with some clinics and there were a lot of arrests happening, I would say, depending on the year, it would have been possible.
Yeah, but maybe.
But not at one time.
No.
That would have been like months and months and months worth. And I was like, that's a hell of a lot of pills.
Yes. Now the conversation pivots to Em's death. Dana tearfully asks if Em overdosed. Em knows she didn't. However, the other details are admittedly fuzzy. Dana urges Em to tell her something. Em reveals that she went to the bridge on Revival Day because it was their mom's birthday. Then she woke up near the waterfall.
Well, that's just sad, too.
Yes, it is.
Dana really wants to solve her sister's death. Well, possibly murder.
Yeah.
She persuades Em to join her at the station for a hot minute. Dana plans to show her face before the pair can go to the bridge and retrace Em's step. Em reluctantly agrees to this plan. I don't know why she wouldn't want to at least get more information.
Yeah.
At the station, Dana encourages Em to get them both chocolate from the vending machine while she joins Wayne in a meeting. Instead, Em takes Dana's keys and, well, steals her car. Meanwhile, Dana approaches Deputy McCrick and his rat tail. What in the hell? What year are we in?
Yeah.
With questions about Em's pill stash. McCray identifies them as Oxy. One would normally deal with them or steal them, I guess. He gives Dana a file on those in Wausau arrested for drug possession before returning to his game. Because, yeah, he was really busy. I can't believe Daryl and Mrs. McMurtry work together now. Later, Dana realizes that Em stole her car, which is wonderful. Because there's only one available car in the parking lot. And whose is it? Oh, it's Ibrahim's. Great.
Yeah.
At the same time, Nathia gets ready to go out and eat with her husband, Aaron. So he was cheating on his wife, who apparently has cancer, with his student. And here's something I thought was interesting. We have to keep up appearances. What does that mean?
Yeah.
Did she perhaps die at home?
It's possible.
Anyway, they head into Nella's, and we see Em following them inside, looking super stalkery.
Yes.
Like, okay, stalker, calm down.
Yeah. Ibrahim drives Dana around town as they search for Em in her car. Dana explains that Em has a rare disease. Her bones break very easily. Because of this, she's lived a sheltered life. At Nella's, Em follows Aaron to the bathroom. He tells her that it's over. Em isn't there to rekindle their affair. She wants to know what happened at the bridge. She doesn't remember, well, anything. Aaron reveals he blocked her phone and email after she inundated him with texts, calls, and emails. He didn't want her to blow their cover. Em doesn't recall sending those. Aaron learns that Em is a reviver, and like Dana, he jumps to conclusions about her death. He assumes she took her own life based on the aforementioned texts, calls, and emails. Oh, and the wedding band she coughed up? It's not his. M apologizes before leaving him. Next in the bar, M overhears a patron talk smack about Reviver. She declares that they were supposed to die, so they should have stayed dead. M whirls around and punches her, and the woman retaliates. She proceeds to beat the snot out of M. M asks her if that's all she's got, with a face covered in blood.
Well, she couldn't get high. Maybe she's getting a dopamine rush right now.
Yeah, because, yeah, that girl that was spouting off just looked like Dick Butkus.
Yeah, she could definitely take her out.
Yeah, she had wide shoulders and big arms.
Elsewhere, Dana tells Abraham about the accident. 2 years ago, she and Em were in a car accident with their mother. Unfortunately, their mother died, and Em was behind the wheel. The family hasn't recovered from it. Then Nella calls Dana. Dana learns about Em's bar fight. A man named Rhodey escorted Em out of the pub. Outside, Rhodey reveals he knows she's a Reviver. Why? Because he's one too. Rhodey gives Em a flyer for an upcoming show with his band. November Dismember. Pretty sick moniker.
Yep.
Em asks if he can get her out of here because she's trying to avoid the law enforcement, you know, for reasons. And it's her sister.
Yeah.
Em grabs a black hoodie from Dana's car and leaves behind a chocolate bar with the November Dismember flyer. She also discards her phone before Rhodey drives them away.
Well, Abraham drops Dana off at the bar. She tells them they should do this again. Hang out. These two are cute together. Have to admit that. Dana discovers a note from Em along with the chocolate. Em claims she needs space for a while, but she's okay. She'll reach out in due time. Later, Dana pays Kay a visit after finding her in the drug files McCray gave. At the same time, Wayne has drinks with Nella. Nella gives Wayne a pep talk. He's doing what he feels is best for Wausau. Wayne calls the governor to ask for a favor. Dana learns that Kay helped M score the pill. Kay knows M is a Reviver. More importantly, she knows who killed M. Ooh. Oh, really now?
Now that's interesting.
Yes, that was a big bomb to drop at the end of episode two, that's for sure.
Right?
All right, we'd love to hear your thoughts on each and every episode this season. Our deadline for feedback is 6 p.m. Eastern every Friday during the season. You can send your feedback via email or audio to contact us at fangirlzone.com. Please review and rate us on iTunes and any other platform you use for your podcast. With good ratings and reviews, it helps other fans of the show find us, as there are at least a couple other Reviver podcasts out there. Tell your friends and hope you're enjoying our podcast. And don't forget to check out the other great Fangirl Zone podcast.
You can go over to www.fangirlzone.com, check out all of our podcasts on our podcast page. You can check out our contacts page and all the other stuff that we have over there. So we definitely want to hear from you. And if anybody has actually read all the comics, I did look it up. There's 47 issues. Because it ran from 2012 to 2017. Let us know what you thought of that, because I'm really interested.
Yep.
So for this episode of Sci-Fi Talk,
I'm Steve. I'm going to shove his protocol right up his ass.
This is Sean Fangirl House, and until next time.